Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Good morning, Christ United. If God's been good to you, give it up like He deserves. I saw some people going like, and the reality is that sometimes there are a lot of folks for whom it's like that's Christian life. It's just, it's boring. It's like you feel, if you're living a Christian life, you feel kind of boring, you feel kind of lonely, you feel kind of isolated, maybe frustrated. You just feel like it's not really got that, wow, whoa, wow, you know, this is awesome experience to it. We're in a series about growing into being every thing God's called us to be, and we learned the first week that who you surround yourself is probably the greatest determinant of who you're going to become, of what your life is going to be like. We said last week you need somebody who's a Christ follower who you can follow so you can see them live it, hear them explain it, ask them questions about it, follow them in it. And you're going like, yeah, but my problem is that my Christian life does not have all this life in it that everybody's talking about and all this excitement and all this love. I feel just kind of lonely and isolated. Well, here's the reality of why that is for so many people. Is that you have a need. It's at least as great as the need for a Christ follower that you can follow, if not more important, and that is that you need a Christ follower that can walk beside you. You need somebody to share life with. In fact, a survey was done of people in terms of their Christian growth and found out that the number one need for people to grow as a follower of Christ is a Christian friend, just somebody that you can share that life experience with. And so you need that in order to be able to share the adventure. And let me say that today we're going to focus on a couple of Christian friends. Well, their names are Paul and Silas. Paul was the guy who wrote much of the New Testament, if you're not familiar with him. And Silas was a good friend of his that shared an adventure. It starts in the book of Acts in chapter 15 and verse 40, and it says that Paul chose Silas, and then they began this journey together, this adventure together. It says they started out and they were in Syria, and then they were in Cilicia, and then after that they went on to Derbe, and then from Derbe they went to Lystra. And in Lystra, they found this guy named Timothy, and they invited him along, and we're going to learn about that next week. But as they traveled together, they were encouraging the churches, and the churches were growing, and the churches were getting stronger in their faith. And then it says that they traveled through the region of Phrygia and the region of Galatia, been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the gospel in the province of Asia. And then they got to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to, so they traveled past by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night while they were in Troas, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia. Now, across from Troas is Macedonia, across the Aegean Sea. And so there was a man from Macedonia begging him, please come and help us. And so they immediately got ready to go over to Macedonia across the Aegean Sea because they had concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel there. How many people are bored yet? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do all these places mean to me? I don't have Phrygia and Galatia and Mysia and all. None of that means anything to me, right? It doesn't mean anything to you. But I want you to imagine what it like meant to them. I want you to think about, anybody here ever been on a road trip? Anybody ever been on a road trip? Oh, man, just imagine these guys sitting around the fire and they're talking about, you remember when we tried to go into Phrygia? You remember that? You remember when we were in Galatia, what happened then? Yeah, and you did this, and then and they would just be talking about the trip. Every single one of those places would have enormous significance and memories and excitement and all kinds of stuff associated with it. Sometimes scary memories, sometimes exciting memories, but every single one of those places I just named meant something to them because they had been there. It was an adventure they had been on together. There's a thing called an adventure race that I was actually invited to participate in. You don't have legs when you first started, but what happened here is these guys, those are a couple of guys from our church, Jeff and Brandon, and then Scott Johnson, who used to be on staff here. They're all on an adventure race. They actually travel between 55 and 60 miles in a period of 10 to 12 hours. Now, that's in a race there, you know what I'm saying? And so those guys are plotting out their path, and they're on this adventure where they got to find the check stations, they got to plot their course, they got to hoof it the whole time. They're on bikes or in kayaks, or they're running. How many people know that what they have after that race is over is all kinds of cool experiences? You remember when we went here, when we went there, and when we did this, and when we did that? They're sharing this adventure together, and there's so much excitement about sharing an adventure. And even far greater than the adventure of sharing a race like that is like, well, Jeff, one of the guys in that picture, he and I and his wife Amber were on a trip as we went to Uganda. And we traveled over to do missions in Uganda to help the children who were being abducted by the LRA. And it was just, I mean, we could talk about when we stopped in Europe on the way and we were in London. Or we could talk about what it was like in Kampala. And if I mention crossing the Nile right there where the rapids were and talk about the baboons, they know what we're talking about. Or if we talk about IDP camps, they know what one of those are. And they know what it was like to see 30,000 people packed in these little huts. And then if I talked about Gulu, they say, oh yeah, Gulu. You remember what happened in Gulu? And you remember where we were? Because we shared an experience together, we shared an adventure together, and man, do we have some beautiful memories that came out of that experience. And so many people here, like guys in the men's ministry who go out to the prison, the J. Reuben Long Detention Center, every week to minister to folks out there who are struggling with addiction. Those guys have these experiences. You remember when we did this, and you remember when they were checking us in there, and you remember what happened to that guy? They've got all this shared experience. Those folks who went to NYSEM, the missions trip to New York where you were going to take care of homeless folks, came back with all kinds of experiences. You know when we got lost, and you know what happened then, and you know how it was when we were. It's that great experience of shared experience. If you go on an adventure, man, you need somebody to share it with, right? You need somebody to share the adventure with. And then you also need somebody to share the victories with. And what happens with them next, that takes us through about chapter 16, verse 10. In verse 11 of chapter 16, it says that they found their way over to Macedonia, and they went to a city called Philippi. And one day they went out of the city gates looking for a place to pray. When they did, they went to the river, and there were women sitting there, so they sat down with them and began to share. There was a woman there named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, and she opened her heart to the message that Paul preached, and she received Jesus. And so she was baptized, and there was great celebration. She and her whole family came to know Jesus. And then it says that she started trying to convince them to come home with her. Not just Paul, but all of them. And that included Silas, who's there along with him, and Luke, who's writing the story. She didn't just invite Paul to the house to celebrate. It was everybody's victory. Everybody celebrated what was happening there. And the truth is that when you are together in an adventure and you're doing what it is that God's called you to do, then when there's a victory, it's everybody's victory. And everybody celebrates that together. It's kind of like it was for, you know, these guys on this trip. They actually won. And they came in second place, I should say. But they were second place out of all. I mean, that's just amazing to be second place in a race on that level. But you know what? They all celebrate that together. That's something they'll share forever, is the feeling of that victory. Yesterday, they had the Priscilla Shirer event here yesterday, and it was awesome. I've heard people talking about it. Starting yesterday when my wife got home, and she's talking about how powerful it was. And the women who were together experienced that. And then the women who planned it after it was over. Even this morning, I was hearing women involved in it talking about all that was involved and what happened and how God was moving so powerfully because they're sharing the victory. Does that make sense to everybody? And so you get to share those victories together. You also need somebody to share the struggles, because it's not always up and to the right. It's not always great. Sometimes it's tough. You find out about that by the time you get into verse 16 of chapter 16. Because what happens is Paul and Silas and some others are going out looking for a place to pray again. Every time they go out to pray, they find women. This time they find a crazy woman. She is possessed by a demon. And by this demon, she can predict the future, you know. And as she's doing that, her owners make a lot of money off of her because she's like a fortune teller. Well, she's walking along behind them saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And she keeps doing it for days and days. And it says, literally, that Paul got so irritated with her, so aggravated by her, that he turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. I know some of you have wished you could do that to somebody, didn't you? In the name of Jesus, come out of her. And it says that the spirit left her at that moment. But guess what? The owners all of a sudden realized, we're not going to be able to make money off of her anymore, because now she can't predict the future anymore. And so they got really mad. And they took Paul and Silas and drove them into the marketplace where they would face the authorities, and the magistrates were there. And they started saying, these men are advocating customs that we can't practice, and they're turning all this into a turmoil. And the other people joined in their arguments against Paul and Silas. And all of a sudden, y'all, everybody was against them. The magistrates ordered them to be severely beaten with rods. It says, after they were severely flogged, so they got open wounds from being whipped horrifically with rods, they're put into prison, and the prison jailer is told to guard them carefully, so he puts them in the inner cell where there's no light from the outside. It's just dark, dingy, rat-infested, moldy, nasty inner cell of a prison. And there they are, and he takes them and fastens their feet into stocks. Now, stocks could even be used to torture people, not just to confine them. And so they're in the stocks, and they're in this miserable place. And sometimes when you're in a miserable place, it's good just to know that somebody understands and somebody shares that with you, and somebody's walking through a very difficult time with you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's good, yeah. It's good not to just have to be alone in the midst of that. And so we have grief share where people are sharing that kind of going through. I know what you're going through and what you've experienced. I was just with Bill and Eileen Cyrus. And if you don't know Bill and Eileen, they are awesome, awesome people. Bill has lymphoma. And he just went to visit his children, and he's flown back here after visiting his children. And he knew when he got back, he would likely have about 2 weeks to live. And so as we were at his house, and we're just sitting sharing stories and sharing about life and everything else, they're talking about how many different ones of you have been to their home and just talked and shared and loved and been with each other in this process. And there were laughter and there was tears and there was all this beautiful sharing. Becky Bogart, whose dear friend Linda is going through a very, very similar thing with a battle that she's facing. And Becky calls me and says, I think you might want to go check on Bill and Eileen. You know what I'm saying? They're going through a tough time. She calls me back later and says, man, God is just moving so powerfully among all of us who are sharing this experience. Y'all, somehow God took what should be like the worst thing ever and turned it into one of the most beautiful things you could possibly imagine. And as all these folks are walking through this together, it seems like such a dark and dingy place and such a terrible time and something that should be so bad. But we were actually sitting there. I was beginning to feel jealous of Bill. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, God, this is just awesome what you got prepared. And I'm watching the love surrounding it. So you need somebody to share the struggles. Everybody know what I'm talking about in that. You also need somebody to actually, well, let me show these guys in the adventure race. One of the things they said is key to that whole race is that in difficult times, when you get to places where you want to quit and you want to give up and you're having to help each other and strengthen each other and carry each other along, that it's working through those difficult times that sometimes is what you look back on, and it's some of the most meaningful times that you had as you're sharing through those struggles together. Well, the way that that happened in terms of sharing the struggle for these guys being in that place, if you have been through difficult times and you felt like you didn't have somebody to share it with and you were isolated, you honestly can feel like giving up. But if you have somebody with you in it, you can actually feel on the other side of it that it was one of the most powerful times in my life. Well, you don't just share the struggle, but you also share the faith in the midst of that. And here's what happened with these guys. And this is the most beautiful verse, I think, one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. You've heard the story. They're in the stocks. They've been severely flogged. They're in this dungy, nasty center cell of the prison. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 16 that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Is that awesome? And the other prisoners were listening. So everybody's going like, they're listening. It's like, oh, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful what's going on here. And they're just so filled up. And they got all this faith coming out of them. And they got all this love for God and this celebration that's going on within their hearts. And you're wondering how. How many people know this? That it was probably each one of them encouraging the other one when they needed that encouragement. How many people have ever been in a spot where you just needed somebody to remind you of your faith? You know what I'm saying? Needed somebody to just get you back because you were going south in your thinking and they needed to get you back. Anybody ever been there? How many people have ever been in a spot where you need to get somebody else back? You know what I'm saying? Somebody else is getting off and you need to be the one to encourage them. I love the way that Paul said it in Romans chapter 1 verse 12. He said that you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Isn't that a cool statement? You and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, because when I'm weak, you're strong. When I'm strong, you know what I'm saying? Hold it. When I'm weak, you're strong. When I'm strong, you're weak. All right? So you know, yeah, thank you. So we struggle to get it, but we have somebody there to help us, you know? And we share our faith and we spur each other on in that process. It's kind of like it is with Carol Kuhn, who's over our prayer ministry and has encouraged so many people in her life who have gone through difficult times. She's just been going through a battle with esophageal cancer. And as she has, what's been beautiful is these prayer ministry. All you guys who are part of the care ministry teams, that you care for people when they're in need and you reach out to people when they're in the hospital, you visit people when they're lonely or hurt, and you're praying and listening and loving. It's just beautiful what you do. Thank you. And to watch them encourage Carol when Carol needs it, and Carol encourage them when they need it, to watch that mutual encouragement taking place is just such a beautiful thing, and you need to share that faith. And now God's doing beautiful stuff, and He's bringing healing to her, and it's awesome. But what's equally awesome is watching the love that's shared as people are sharing their faith in the process. We were just going through a time, the building, we're getting ready to, y'all, it's exciting, we're going to get started real, real soon. And we were at a struggle point in the building process where it was really, really difficult. And it was so difficult that I, your fearless leader, was going like, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? You know, I'm like, ah, man, I'm just feeling like overwhelmed. And in the midst of that, this guy who I look up to, he's like one of those brothers. We've walked together for years. His name's Mike Worley. But Mike just was in my office, and he said, Jeff, I just feel peace. That's all it took. That literally was all it took. And all of a sudden, I'm going like, wait a minute, Mike. I need to go back and redo the meeting I just came out of with what I now feel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of a sudden, you're reminding me of my faith, and all of a sudden, everything's going where it should go. And the reality is just by Mike's moment of faith encouragement to me, everything changed. And as a result of that, God has moved so powerfully. Y'all will hear about it next Sunday night as we share at our Unite about where it is. It's exciting. It's awesome what God is doing. But I needed Him to encourage me, and I hope there have been times when I've encouraged Him, right? So we're going to share our faith. We're going to encourage each other through it. You need somebody like that in your life. Those guys on the adventure race, they say that almost inevitably, matter of fact, the way Jeff told me, he said, you need to understand that you're always at some point going to be the weak link. At some point, you're going to need your brothers to encourage you. You're going to need somebody to spur you on. You're going to need somebody to help you. You need to just accept that. And he said, if you accept that, you're going to be okay. Now, don't you think it's about the same way in the Christian life? I need to know there are going to be times when I need to be encouraged and times when I'll need to encourage others. Well, then we get to share, y'all, in the power. And what happens here as you go through this, in verse 26 through 29, here's what happens. So you get the picture. They're fastened in the stocks, in the dungeon, going through a difficult time, but their faith is encouraging each other. They're singing, praying, and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners are listening. There's just this cool moment where their faith is all, you know, like, phew, this is awesome. What's going on here? All right, when that happens, it says in verse 26 that there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison shook. And the gates of the prison, the doors flung open. And so everything's just like, bam, God just moves in. And when He moves in, all of a sudden nobody's in shackles. No doors are closed. Everything's open. In fact, the jailer actually pulls out a sword and starts to kill himself, because he knows that if the prisoners have escaped, that he might as well kill himself, because he's going to die for letting them escape. And then as he starts to kill himself, Paul says, wait, we're all still here. And that is so cool. Think about it. These other prisoners were so enthralled by Paul and Silas's faith and their singing and praying and singing hymns to God that they don't even leave. Isn't that cool? They don't even leave. Paul and Silas and the rest of them are still there. And so this guy, this jailer, comes and falls down trembling before Paul and Silas. Man, what a powerful moment, right? You get to share the power. You need somebody to be able to share that experience with and share the power that God has. Let me give you a picture here. These guys, this is, again, Jeff and Brandon and Scott. The guy on the far right is Brandon. Scott's to the left and Jeff to the left of that. On this race that they just went on, here's what Jeff told me. He said, He said, man, it was a tough race. They go, again, nearly 60 miles. 26 miles of that is pedaling. And as they're pedaling, Jeff said, both Scott and I were struggling. He said, so Brandon, we had a dog leash attached to Brandon's bike. And we would hold on to the dog leash, and Brandon would pull us. I'm going like, dang, that's awesome. You know, I've been behind Brandon before, and I can't even stay within sight of Brandon. He is amazing in terms of his strength, but he's pulling those other guys along. The power at work in him transferring to those other guys was so cool. But you know what's even cooler? It's when you're in a place where nobody's got the strength to do anything. In fact, when nobody can do anything. That's how it was for Paul and Silas when they were in that prison cell. Their feet are in the stocks. Nobody can do anything. Only God, and God shows up, right? And God's saying, that's what I want you to experience. I want you to experience what it is to be a part of something that's bigger than you and experience with other people that all of you together, that you and the one walking beside you can experience the power of God together. That is life-changing. It was that way for Andre and Janelle and myself as we had gone to Rwanda. And we were visiting around Rwanda. God had done great things. It was amazing to see what had been done. But we pulled up into this little village where Janelle and Andre went in to visit the home of just one or two little families that were sponsored in that little village. And so that meant there were a whole lot of hungry families there, and just a couple of them were getting food. There were children gathered around who didn't have sponsors and didn't have any connection. And this large crowd of children stood in the rain outside of the bus. And we just began praying, God move, God move, God move. And all of a sudden, God moved. And he moved in such a powerful way that what was children standing in the rain turned into a group of children opening up their hearts to Jesus. It was just the most beautiful thing ever. And then God kept moving, and he moved back to the United States just through one phone call to a bunch of you who gathered together a bunch of money. And the next day, food showed up for every family in that village for like 3 months or something. It was just amazing. And then the next Sunday, God moved so much that the church that was about a mile and a half walk for them over a mountain to get to almost, they were filled. That church was filled with people because of what God had done in the process. Yeah, I tell you, Janelle and Andre and I will never forget that. Because we saw the power of God and we shared that experience together. When I was in the airport, y'all, on the way back, I had eaten some food that somebody had offered me that I shouldn't have eaten. I was doing it politely, and it hit me, y'all. It hit me like, if I take one more step, I'm going to just absolutely lose everything forever. I am deathly sick. I just grabbed hold of Janelle. Janelle, pray for me. I am so sick. And Janelle prayed for me, and 10 seconds, I was absolutely fine for the 18-hour flight or whatever it was we were going on to. I was absolutely fine. You know what? We will never forget that. We will never forget that. The truth is that God wants you to experience His power, and He wants you to experience with other people His power. And when you do that, man, it binds you together in a way that is absolutely awesome. And I want to tell you something. When you experience God's power and His victories and great things, and there's nobody to share it with, it takes away all the joy out of it. There's a very old corny joke, but it's about a preacher. A preacher skips church one day to go golfing. And so as he's golfing, God keeps blessing him with like holes in one and, you know, birdies and everything else. And Peter's going like, why are you doing that? You know, you're blessing this dude. And he skipped church to come golfing. And God said, I love it. He's not going to have anybody to tell. Now, think about it. If you don't have somebody to share it with, right? You got to have somebody to share it with. God's saying, I want you to be able to share that experience, and then you get to share the joy. And as you share the joy, here's what happens with these guys. In verses 30 through 34, what happens is this jailer says to them, how can I be saved? You know, what must I do to be saved? He pulls them out, takes them home and asks them. And they explain it to him and his whole household, how to be saved through Jesus. And all of them are saved. He takes them out and takes them to wash their wounds. They are still bleeding and torn from the beating they've received, and their wounds have not even been washed. And now the jailer takes them and washes them. Is that awesome? And after he washes them, they turn around and immediately he and his whole family are baptized. And then after they're baptized, he brings them back in the house and sets a meal before him, before them. And it says in verse 34 that he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. I want you to imagine how much joy there was for Paul and Silas sharing that. Anybody want to be on something like that? Would you like to be in on something like that? Like, God, I want to share the joy and the experience of what it is that you can do. Look at those guys in their faces. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I want that. I mean, you're talking about on the missions trips, you're talking about visiting the prison, and you're talking about all this exciting stuff and the women's ministry and all the stuff that happened. And you're going like, but that doesn't happen for me, you know? It doesn't happen for me, and I don't know why everybody else gets to have that, and I don't get to have that. And why don't I have somebody to walk beside me, and why don't I have a good, strong Christian friend, and why don't we ever experience God's power, and why don't we ever experience victories, and why don't we ever have that time that we're really sharing each other's life like that? And here's the simple answer to that question. You can't share the journey if you're not on the journey. Does that make sense to you? You can't share the journey if you're not on the journey. When it came to that experience of that bike ride, do you know who should have been in that picture? I should have been in that picture. Brandon, feeling sorry for his old preacher, invited me like 3 months ahead of time. He said, Jeff, there's a race, March the 19th. Would love for you to come on it. And y'all, I was originally intended to do it. You know, it's my 54th birthday, perfect day to do an adventure race, and I'm going to do it. And then I get this little injury, and I get this little question mark, and before you know it, I'm like, I probably ought to be wise and stay home, right? So I got wise, and I stayed home. How many people think I regret that? How many people think I regret that till the day I die? They came in second. I could have been second. But if I had been with them, it probably would have been 18th. But I could have finished, right? But I could have been a part of that. But I wasn't. I'm not going to experience it. I could have been in the picture. I could have shared the joy. I could have shared the experience. But if I'm not on the journey, I can't share the relationships. I can't share the experience. And here's your problem. The reason you aren't experiencing it is you're not on the journey. Get in it. If you were at the prison, you would experience what those guys experienced in the prison. If you were at New York when they went to the NYSEM trip, you would have experienced what God did there. If you had been with the women's ministry yesterday, you would experience what God did through Priscilla Shower in this place yesterday. If you would just be a part of it, then you would begin to experience what it is that God has called you to do. And now somebody's saying to me that very important statement. They're saying, yeah, but I've tried it before. I tried to get people to let me. I even went to a life group and nobody talked to me. Right? Or then somebody said something bad about me. I shared something in life group and the next thing you know, somebody shared something bad about me. And then now I can't trust anybody. Or I asked 3 or 4 times if I could go to a life group and people told me their groups were closed. It's like nobody wants me. You know, you got all those experiences of why I feel. And here's the reality. Sometimes it's you went to life group and you really didn't like the people who were there. You know, you're like, dang, man, I don't really know if I want to go back or not, you know. I want to just let you know this. Some people would rather not share it with you. Isn't that a reality? Some people just would rather not share it with you. And that's just true. I was a part of a life group. Been a part of a life group for quite a while. I was considered to be not necessarily the favorite guy in the life group because I pushed some things I should. But anyway, there came time for the life group to grow and expand and become 2 life groups. I live in a neighborhood. I've got a next-door neighbor, an across-the-street neighbor 2 houses down, 1 about 6 houses down that way, all in that same life group. So I'm going like, that's cool. Timber Ridge Road, perfect place for a life group. When it came time to split groups, they put me in a group in Socastee. Honest to God. I'm going, somebody doesn't want to do it with me, right? It's reality. Is sometimes people are not going to want to share it with you. That's just a reality. And the other truth is sometimes you wouldn't rather share it with some of those people too, right? There are sometimes when you just don't feel it and you aren't getting it. And sometimes there's conflict and sometimes there's difficulty. And sometimes personalities rub, and sometimes people have hurt people, and somebody has done wrong, and sometimes you don't trust people. All that kind of stuff happens. And so some people would rather not share it with you. You'd rather not share it with some people, and guess what? That's okay. Now, you're probably going like, did a preacher just say that's okay? That doesn't make any sense. Now, let me tell you why it's okay. Because, see, when I started to preach this passage, I started in verse 40 of chapter 15, which if you are a Bible student, you know I did something really, really wrong. Because I didn't start at the beginning of the segment of Scripture. I started about a third of the way into it because I didn't want to have to deal with the previous verses that start in verse 36 through verse 39. Because in verse 36 through verse 39 of that chapter 15 of the book of Acts, it says this, that Paul and Barnabas, who were blood brother friends, loved each other deeply. Barnabas is the one who stood up for Paul and got him brought in and accepted by the other apostles. They had traveled around the world sharing the gospel together, and they were in Antioch. Antioch, the cradle of the Christian world where Christians were first called Christians, was in Antioch. And so they're in Antioch, and Paul says to boy, that was funny. I just want y'all to capture that and just play it back. Well, all right, so Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and visit some of the places that we had shared the gospel and see how everybody's doing. And Barnabas said, that's great. Let's take Mark with us. John Mark, who happens to be Barnabas's cousin. So John Mark, want to take him with him. And Paul said, no, he deserted us when we were in Pamphylia. I don't want to take him. And so there was such a sharp disagreement between the two of them that Paul and Barnabas parted company. You're going like, I don't like that part. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the tendency. I don't like that part. That doesn't sound very Christian, you know? How many people know that conflict has happened in the body of Christ since the 12 apostles were with Jesus? They were having conflict. Conflict happens. You know why? Because you and I are human beings. And human beings have conflicts. And we don't get everything perfect. And there's a mess. And the problem is when you think it's not okay, is as soon as there's a conflict, all of a sudden you say, well, this must not be the right group for me. This must not be the right church for me. I must not be meant to be in fellowship. It's not going to work for me. It ain't going to happen for me. I've tried it. I quit because there was conflict. And the reason that I can tell you that it's okay if there's conflict and if people don't want to be with you and you don't want to be with people and there's struggles that go through is because of this. That is not the end of the journey. You can write that in on your notes. That is not the end of the journey. The reality is, guys, that conflict happened between Paul and Barnabas. And you know what God said? God said, you know what? Even though you guys can't get it right, I can still get it right. So he turned one missionary journey into two. He said, I'll send Barnabas, and Barnabas took Mark, and they went off, and they headed for Cyprus, right? And then Paul chose Silas, and they went off toward Syria and Cilicia. And all of a sudden, God's saying, I'm going to get more done, even though you guys are struggling right now to get it right. And ultimately, you know what happened? If you go to the book of Colossians and you read Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, you find Paul writing to the people in Colossae. Interesting thing about Colossae is that after Mark had deserted Paul and Barnabas, they had to make their way back home. And as they were coming back home, they came within 20 miles of Colossae. And so guess what? The people in Colossae had already heard probably about Mark abandoning them, right? And everything else. And they're probably thinking, oh, Paul doesn't like, you know, Mark, he's not a good guy, and we don't trust him, and all that kind of stuff. Paul writes to them in chapter 4, verse 10. He says, look, Mark sends greetings. That's Barnabas's cousin. And so Paul is referring to Barnabas and referring to Mark in a positive light. And then he says this, you have received instruction from me about him. If he comes to you, you welcome him. And in some ways it's implied you welcome him warmly. And here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, Mark's a good guy. Mark's a good guy. You ought to receive him well. He's with me now. I want you to know that Mark is good. Look, there was healing. There was forgiveness. There was grace. Here's the thing. We're going to have conflict. And we're going to have struggles. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have disagreements where we don't always get it right. And sometimes we're going to... You know what I love about this whole thing and this conflict between Paul and Barnabas is it never says who was wrong. How many people know that when there's conflict between two Christians, your number one responsibility is to figure out who's right and who's wrong? Which side am I on? Y'all know, isn't that the temptation? I need to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and I need to get on the right side. And God's going, there isn't a right or a wrong. The truth is, you got one enemy, and that's the devil. And all you need to do, be doing is praying for me to work in the lives of everybody involved, because I'm going to be glorified in it. Amen to that? And so it leads you to this truth. Trust that God is at work in all of you. God's just saying, I'm at work in all of you. And by the time Paul got to the end of his life, he's writing to Timothy. He's actually to a place where he's actually near facing his death and the end of his life. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He says, I want you to bring Mark with you because he's a great help to me. Isn't that beautiful that one of the last requests that Paul would have is to bring the guy that he didn't trust to bring him on his second missionary journey, because God says, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. Let me tell you why that's good news for you. Because please hear this. Somebody here today, you have missed what it is to have somebody walk beside you in the adventure of following Jesus. You've missed sharing the adventure. You've missed the road trip. You've missed all the memories. You've missed all the things that y'all did together and what you experienced and when you went there and when you went there and what happened here. And you've missed sharing the victories. You've missed sharing the struggles. You've missed sharing even suffering together. You've missed all that. And you've missed, through this process, sharing your faith and spurring each other on to become everything that God's called you to be. You've missed the power. You haven't shared the power of God in the way that He wants you to share the power. And you've missed sharing the joy. It's like, no wonder your Christian life is boring. And God's saying, and the number one reason why you've missed it is this. Is somewhere along the line, something happened and your feelings got hurt. Or you felt like they don't want me. Or maybe I don't want them, or it didn't work here, or it didn't work there, and something went awry. Does that make sense? Whether it's in a ministry, or whether it's in a life group, or whether it's with a brother or sister in Christ, whatever the case may be. And I just want to tell you this beautiful, beautiful reality. The beautiful reality is that that's not the end of the story. God just says, get grace and forgiveness in your heart. And trust me, I'm at work in them, and I'm working you. You haven't got to choose a winner and a loser here. You just trust me to be at work in all of you and step out there again. And I don't care how many times you got to step out. You keep stepping out until you find somebody to walk beside you in the adventure that God created you to live as a follower. As a follower, as a follower of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Let's start living the adventure He wanted us to live in the beginning. Lord God, it's our prayer that You would help us today to get hold of the power, to get hold of the difference it'll make when we start truly living out this adventure, walking beside people that we can share this awesome adventure with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.